making good. I'm Renee Blanchard, founder and operator of Church Alley Cafe and Grocery, located here in New Orleans, Louisiana. Church Alley is a people-first, mission-driven small business that I opened in 2013. And the best part about owning a cafe is the people. So in this podcast, I interview the makers, the farmers, and the many interesting people I've met through the shops, the folks doing the good work here in Louisiana and all along the Gulf Coast. Let's get started. So thank y'all so much for being here. I'm really excited for y'all to be on the podcast. And do y'all want to just introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for having us. My name is Jen Vigue. I'm a clinical licensed social worker here in New Orleans. I've been practicing social work for a while now. I run my own counseling practice where I do counseling with individuals and couples. And then I recently started this new adventure to work on a community health organization that's going to be a worker-led cooperative.
And I'm Nora Glaspy. I'm also a licensed social worker here in New Orleans. I have a private practice. I've been doing this in private practice for about 3 years. And Jen and I partnered up a while back and put our heads together to get this nonprofit going. And I think we're both excited to be here to talk to you today.
Yeah, thank y'all so much. So y'all co-founded the Wellness Project New Orleans. And there's three co-founders, right? It's not just the two of y'all.
Yeah, there's actually four of us. So there's me and Nora. And then we have two other co-founders, Shauna and Deborah. And both of those folks are also social workers too.
Cool. And so can you maybe explain exactly what the Wellness Project is again? So it's a worker-led public health social services nonprofit, right?
Is that right? A real tongue tire. There's a lot that we're fitting in there. Do you want to take a stab at it, Nora, or do you want me to go ahead?
Well, I guess I could take a stab at it. So when we first started talking about creating something to give back to the community, we really were trying to be as thoughtful as possible about how to make a community that was also healthy and sustainable for the workers. And so, you know, we started kind of, you know, looking into like what alternatives were out there. You know, we thought about maybe just doing more of like a grassroots collective at first. And then as we kind of like got deeper into our research, we came across the worker-led nonprofit structure through the Sustainable Economies Law Center in California. And so that kind of helped center us in kind of putting the pieces together. And so, you know, what that means is that as a group, we'll all, you know, have equal power in making decisions and being able to support and make decisions for the programs that we're involved with. Jen, maybe you want to talk about the programs?
Yeah. So one of the big mission statements of the Wellness Project New Orleans is to make mental health and wellness services more accessible to the New Orleans community. And we're looking at doing that in a couple different ways. When we talk about accessibility, you know, of services, cost is definitely a huge thing that comes up. So we're gonna offer services on a sliding scale down to zero, which means, you know, everyone would be able to get services there, even people who are maybe not able to pay at this time for services. So we're kind of looking at that sliding scale to help with the financial component of the mental health and wellness services. We're looking at things like, you know, what else keeps people from getting the services or the help that they need? It might be transportation. So looking at bus passes or helping people get ride shares. You know, maybe it's people are caring for a loved one or a child at home. You know, what can we do to you know, make sure they have the support that they need so they can come to their appointments. So it's really trying to create, you know, mental health counseling and maybe some other wellness services that are really accessible for people in the community. And then kind of another mission that kind of ties in to the wellness project is, this kind of comes from our feelings on doing a worker co-op, is making sure that the providers of the wellness project and other providers in the community, whether that's other social workers or counselors or massage therapists or people from all kinds of different disciplines, are feeling like they have the support they need to give the community the best services they can. And that might look like, you know, providing free trainings for folks or low-cost trainings, helping people study for their licensing exams, maybe renting out space to folks, you know, at a low cost, and really kind of centering some of these outreach things to providers of color, because traditionally, you know, there's not as many providers in color of color, unfortunately, in New Orleans, due to a lot of systematic and racial barriers. So we're ambitious. We have a lot that we want to accomplish with the project.
Yeah, I mean, New Orleans also provides us a lot of opportunities to, you know, that need to be tackled as well. You know, there's so many layers to mental health. That is like the quality of mental health in New Orleans. And it's just like, it's also maybe who we are, our constitution as a person, but it's also that their jobs aren't as great as they were at one time, or we don't have public transportation, you know, that the buses aren't as good anymore, you know? So it's just layer upon layer. Hurricane season, you know, yeah. Still paying off. I just got a new roof from Ida like 4 months ago, you know, and I'm still paying that off. And that is true across the board, across Southern Louisiana. So, you know, I hear you like explain all these things, but these are all the things that we're facing too. You know, it's all the barriers that we're facing to have like a happy, healthy, productive life, you know, why we live here. And I always say that about the shop, you know, about why I will get involved on issues across in New Orleans, or we do our big fundraisers twice a year. We try to do different products in the shop as well that give. And it's like, if my customers aren't happy, healthy, and economically viable, I don't have a business. You know, none of us have a good business if our customers and our community can't be happy, right? You have, when you go in and buy something, you kind of have to have a little joy in it too, you know? So that's a piece of it. And you were talking about the worker led. I worked for nonprofits for a long time, and it is, I'm sure in the social services, it's even more, but environmental issues, you are working around the clock too. Like, you work a lot and you feel a pressure to, well, if I don't work this much, then we're not going to move the needle on the issues that we care so much about or that we're dedicating our lives to. And that causes a lot of issues. It causes a lot of health issues. It causes a lot of dysfunction within the organization of who is giving more and who is not giving more, or who has more resources at home to support the family. And not so true if you're working for a nonprofit and not making as much money as someone else. You're not a two-income house or something like that. And so I thought it was really, that's the part that I think is just really fascinating, that you're tackling this holistic approach of like, it's not just the clients that we're caring about. We're caring about the people who are making this organization true as well. Y'all said y'all spoke to another organization about what that looks like, what that structure could look like.
Oh yeah. We like, early on, I went to a couple of workshops that the Sustainable Economy Law Center offers in California. It's pretty cool. It's free. You can just go to their website and get into these community trainings to learn more about, you know, how to set this stuff up. And they have all like just so many great resources on their website. on the legal end of things. And we also talked to another agency out in California. I'm from California, right? So I guess it's like a point of reference, right? Like, why is Mark keep bringing up California? We're in New Orleans. Anyway, so I talked to the Liberation Institute, which is actually a place that I received counseling at a long time ago that offers sliding scale. And it was a pretty meaningful experience for me, and I thought it was really cool. And so years later, now I find myself in this position, and I'm thinking, well, how could we bring something like that to New Orleans, right? As we were seeing the need. And they also kind of, you know, hence their name, Liberation Institute, right? Like, they put a lot of focus on, like, how to support their practitioners in seeing, you know, that our well-being and healing is also an act of justice, right? And liberation. And so it's, you know, if we're going to be there to provide the support to people, we need to make sure that, like, we're also supported in community as well.
Yeah. And I think I've seen a lot of businesses recently who are doing something similar, like Bellegarde Bakery here in town. They became a co-op. There's another cafe in Mid-City that also recently became a co-op, and it seems like that's happening in the commercial space, which has always been true. There's always been different types of, but I feel like it's, we're talking about it a little bit more, I guess, in the aftermath or as the pandemic kind of changes and what it looks like in our communities. So it's interesting. I worked in DC. There were no co-ops for nonprofits. It was like very, like, you know, a very well-paid, you know, executive director, and then a lot of free labor. So I just find that so interesting. And then why, like, what is the origin? Like, have y'all been working together for the last few years, or were y'all just like at a happy hour and were like, I have this idea?
Yeah, well, I met Nora super early in both of our social work careers. So Nora and I went to Tulane University School of Social Work, and we didn't have classes together, but we ended up at the same field placement, an organization called Silence is Violence. And we were interns there at the same time. And we started to form our relationship there and to work together. And then, you know, we each kind of moved up in our social work careers and kind of went in our own directions, but always tried to stay in contact and stay a support system for each other. You know, Nora is someone I really like value on a social work level with like values. Like, I would trust, you know, to send any of my close family or friends to Nora. So I think I've always kind of stayed in contact and reached out to her because of that, and just, you know, in awe of her and the work she has done. So it made a lot of sense when I was thinking about, you know, if I wanted to build something of my own, you know, who are the people I want to build it with? And, you know, Nora always came up. It was always easy to have conversations with Nora about the future and what we would want a dream organization to have and look like.
Yeah. Well, and then I guess can y'all maybe talk a little bit about what is the current setup? So if there is a family that is looking for some counseling on some issues that are happening, and they're a lower income, they don't have insurance, maybe they're in that odd, you know, that odd space of income where it's too much or too little for certain types of things. What are the steps that a family have to take to get to seek to have counseling for them? Or, like, for example, like a postpartum mom is kind of struggling in the months after. But so what does that look like? How would they step to get the help that they need right now?
Do you mean with Wellness Project or just in general?
In general, in New Orleans, without the Wellness Project. I know y'all are trying to solve some of these connection issues. And so what does that landscape look like right now?
Yeah, I would say the landscape looks probably pretty hard for that person. Not that there's not some great resources and organizations in the community that offer help and support, you know, to those folks. But I would say, you know, again, going back to access is really hard. And if you're, you know, I'm going to do some assuming for a moment, but I'm assuming like if you're a new mother, there's a lot of different things pulling at your attention, you know, a lot of emotion is like coming up and you might not have the reserves that it might take to do the research to like find the organizations that might have these resources for you. You know, something that we kind of read about early on when we were thinking about our organization and accessibility is we came across some studies that said, you know, the rate that someone gets called back in New Orleans when they reach out for help at a mental health service agency or another, you know, organization that might offer like case management services was really low. Like a lot of people were calling places and they weren't even getting a response back, a call back to say, we don't have room right now, we're full, but like, here's another place you can go. And that just being a huge barrier. So I would imagine, you know, you're already kind of tapped out, stressed, have a lot on your plate, and then you start to reach out for help. And it's maybe hard. Maybe some people aren't getting back to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something I hear a lot from my clients is how discouraging that is, how that, you know, really stalled them for a really long time getting the help that they need. So I think there is like a lot of barriers in that way. There isn't a lot of like streamlined, in my experience at least, right? I'm talking about my experience as a social worker, you know, in private practice and working at different nonprofits and things. There's not a lot of like streamlined services in New Orleans. There's not like a lot of agencies you can call. And they can be like, well, we have a relationship with this other agency. Let us do a warm handoff. Let's us get connected. There's a lot of, we don't do that. You know, you'd be good Googling this or Googling that. So I wish there was like maybe some more interconnectedness between agencies and some more kind of soft handoffs in that way. Not that, again, they don't exist, but I don't think they exist as much as like they should, unfortunately.
Right. Like comparable to the need of what's happening.
Yeah.
Jen, and this might be an edit moment, but like, would this be a moment to plug that nonprofit program?
Yeah.
Talk to?
Definitely. I think it would be. So we recently met with a program called Family Connects, and they're actually getting some support from the City of New Orleans Behavioral Department. And they're launching services this summer. And what they're going to be doing is they're going to have people at the hospital connecting new mothers or new people who give birth to a social worker. And then that social worker would, kind of go and do some home visits and kind of check in with the mother or the person who gave birth and see what resources they need, whether that be counseling, whether that be help with the transportation or food, you know, check in with the other members of the household and see, you know, what they're feeling and what they might need. So they're an agency that's going to start doing that work. And I think they're really focused on building some community partnerships with other organizations to, you know, do that warm handoff, to not just give that mother like the list, but to, you know, help them contact that agency and like walk them through the steps they need to be connected.
Yeah. And so this is a New Orleans agency, a City of New Orleans agency in the public department. Cool.
And yeah, and they're starting, I don't have a remember the exact date when the services will launch, but they said this summer. And that's definitely, I don't know if you do any links or notes or anything, but that's some information I can send you, Renee, in case anyone who's listening might need that resource at some point.
Yeah, I can put all these links, all the organizations y'all have mentioned so far in the show notes and link them. Even if people are interested in, maybe they have skills that they can lend to these organizations as well. That's cool. You know, it's interesting. In my studies this year, this last semester, I'm not sure if I had spoken to y'all about this, we had to go and sit in a WIC office and visit. And it was so interesting. We had to do a whole assignment throughout the semester on WIC and learn about their new, so every 10 years they update what can be included in the services that WIC involves and gives to people, and then also the types of food that people can purchase with the money, depending on whether it's a child under 2 or 2 to 4 or the mom. And it was so interesting, and it's all dietitians that are the people who sit to give these services. And it was, I just didn't understand like the extent of one, how busy that program was, like how many people need and rely on that program for a number of years, because it's a pretty long time that you're involved in it. And then that they get health checkups every 3 months when they come to get their card refilled for food for the family. And they were also like giving referrals. So anytime someone said anything, they wrote down a name and a number and said that here's where you can go, even to a doctor or something like that. So I thought that was really, I just had no idea. And it was an interesting experience to work with.
Yeah. I mean, that's great to know, because I think a lot of people, right, we think of WIC and we're like, okay, like we send someone off with a card and they can use it, and like that's the extent of it. But yeah, really a lot is trying to be put into it and for it to be more of a wraparound program. So I think, yeah, you highlighting that is also really great for people to know too.
Yeah, every time I've mentioned WIC, people don't seem to know anything about it, or they think it's a failing program. That's a program that doesn't do well, that isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing very well. And it, in my experience in the last few months, I've been like, this is a powerhouse agency. Yeah. They really are doing a lot for, and especially in rural area. I went to Houma to visit that office, so it was really small. But it just shows you, like, I think also for me, that brings up that there's so many things happening around that have so few resources. And so everyone that is in need is kind of like throwing their hand in at every single one, trying to see what kind of help they can get, you know? And I'm sure that Louisiana, the Gulf Coast, must face these issues at higher levels than in other parts of the country as well.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of, I guess I didn't even mention, but I'll put in the intro, is that I'm actually one of the board members. And that's how I know y'all. but I wanted to highlight the work that you're doing. So we've had a few meetings this year, but officially, so y'all are going to kind of launch these services in the next month and a half or so. Y'all are starting with offering discounted counseling services, right? Like that's kind of the launch of program, and then adding from there. Can y'all talk a little bit about what the next few months looks like for y'all?
Yeah, definitely. Do you want to go ahead, Nora, or you want me to?
Well, I mean, I was just going to say we're just going to be preparing, you know, for our launch later in the summer. So it's like we've got administrative stuff to get organized, you know, and really, like, I mean, Jen's been spearheading like fundraising in a lot of ways, like for grants and stuff. So that's going to be the big chunk of work, getting the money to provide services.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we are starting, like you mentioned, Renee, starting with the counseling services, offering mental health counseling on a wide sliding scale. And we're starting with that because that's what we have a lot of experience in and something that we can kind of provide to folks right away. So that's kind of like the building point, you know, the big dream someday is like, you know, beyond just talk therapy, right? Like other wellness services that help people both, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically would be added to that, you know, on a sliding scale basis. But yeah, kind of going back and starting with what we know best and what we can provide right away while we're working on kind of the funding pieces and getting some more money going to get the ball rolling and to be able to hire and contract with some of those other folks to provide those other services.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So like as people are having counseling with y'all and y'all have made all these new connections, you can immediately offer, oh, this group has this particular service and kind of expand on the breadth of what your clients are receiving from y'all.
Yeah. I think it would just be so beautiful, you know, and like the dream to someday like work in an office where, you know, I'm having maybe a session with a client and we're processing maybe some trauma that they're going through, right? And we identify that, you know, they're really feeling the trauma in this part of their body. Maybe like their back aches, right? They're carrying all this tension in their shoulders. And for me to be like, well, we have this massage therapist that we share this space with that also is part of this collective, you know, would you be open to like meeting with them? Like, would that also be a good resource for you? So you can work with them and you can release and heal from some of this in a different modality in a different way. And yeah. I think like those services are ones that, you know, sometimes get offered to certain groups of people in New Orleans and not to others. So I think making those, you know, really holistic ways of healing accessible too is really important.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. Those things seem like a luxury, but especially if you have chronic pain and have had maybe a home life that just continues to contribute, it's not a luxury. We need to like be able to move around and walk and do all of those things. And that body work is really important piece of for a lot of people. Yeah. So how can people get involved? So if other practitioners and social workers can contact y'all to maybe get on the roster of helping with their own services, is that an option?
Yes. I realize I'm nodding. I have to say something out loud.
Yeah.
Just like shaking our heads up and down.
It's the audio. We're taking the audio. Yes.
Yeah, no, we would definitely love to get some more folks involved. You know, I think we'll definitely try to do some more recruiting once we have like some more money. Like I don't, you know, it's hard for me to approach folks and be like, hey, like, do you want to do some free labor? We're hoping it's going to get there and we're all going to get paid someday. You know, I think that's a little bit harder of a sell. And, you know, sometimes that feels really hard, but if people are willing to like donate some time and it can look like a lot of different things, you know, we're really happy to do that. We're really happy to like try to support that person too, you know, while they're helping kind of support the organization, and that can come in a lot of different ways. But yeah, definitely people can reach out if they feel, you know, interested or inspired by what we're doing. And hopefully we'll be reaching out to people soon to ask them, you know, yeah, to get involved and to be able to offer them some more resources, financial or otherwise.
Yeah. And then people who maybe want to donate to y'all Are people able just to make straight up donations to the organization? Y'all are 501c3. That's why.
Yeah, there's a link on our website to make donations.
Cool. Awesome. And then this, so I often record a few months before the release because I do it, I drop it as a season. So we're recording at the end of June right now. And I know right now y'all are selling t-shirts and mugs, right? I think that people can buy online. And that also goes to y'all. That's also a fundraiser.
Yeah, the t-shirt and the mugs. The profit that we make off those items goes to our therapy fund. And that therapy fund allows us to, you know, offer counseling services for people, either low cost or free.
Cool. Awesome. Is there anything else that y'all want to share about your work or anything coming up? We're just doing and the board meetings, I know we're like doing all the nitty gritty part right now. So like setting up the checking accounts and like doing all the
fun logistical things and the paperwork.
Yeah,
the paperwork. So that part, that is also part of running a nonprofit here. But then the other stuff will maybe have some events, and as we release closer to this release, I'm sure there'll be other stuff that I will also absolutely share to listeners.
Hopefully we're thinking maybe late October having an event.
Yeah, perfect.
I started planning around that. But yeah, and if you have any ideas, Renee, for an event, but we'll probably talk about that at the board.
Yeah, I'll see y'all in a couple weeks. late October is awesome. Hopefully it'll be a normal October, New Orleans October, and it'll be cooler than it is now, the 120 degrees that it is today.
Yeah, if we can get rid of the heat advisory and it could just be the normal hot again. No. That would be great.
Just the normal Halloween hot. That's really cool. It's funny, always that we get a lot of tourists in the shop, and even in October or later, they'll be like, Is it going to cool down? I was like, maybe. Who knows? We have no idea. I've been sweating at Thanksgiving before, that's for sure.
Yeah. I would maybe add like another thing that's kind of ongoing. If folks want to, you know, reach out to do, is we have a survey. That we're kind of collecting some data and responses for, and we're hoping that the survey is going to help us really shape our services. So the survey is for folks who've experienced any kind of mental health services in New Orleans. So that could be meeting with a counselor, that could be, you know, an outpatient program, an inpatient program, having a psychiatrist, maybe even some services with your primary care doctor. But we're asking, you know, anyone who's received services in Louisiana to maybe share a little bit about their experiences. So it's a really short survey. It asks about, you know, accessibility, like how would you say your experience trying to engage in services? How was that for you? And then it asks, how was your experience actually receiving the services? And then if you have any feedback on what would make either as getting to the services or the experience of receiving services better, any like areas of improvement, what's kind of like your feedback on that? And when people fill out the survey, they get entered to get one of the shirts or one of the mugs for free. We're doing kind of a raffle with it. But yeah, we love to have people's feedback. And yeah, we're really trying to take it into consideration and, you know, hear what the community needs and kind of build the services around that. I think a lot of times, you know, as social workers or even people in the helping professions will come up with all these great ideas and be like, you know, we're going to do X, Y, Z, and it's going to be so great for the community. And sometimes, you know, we get a little hung up in our own ideas and plans, and we don't really do enough of like listening to what the community is telling us and like adjusting from there. So hopefully the survey can be a part of that adjustment.
That's awesome. I think that's such a great idea. It's such really good data. I think that would be interesting for reporters. I think that is an interesting data for reporters too, to see. I'm sure there are journalists who are already working on these issues on the Gulf South that may be interested in that kind of data. I think especially nonprofits, I think for business, we do a lot of market research, and that's like kind of embedded in our business plan is like, what do people want? So what would they buy and how much would they buy it for? For nonprofits, we often have experiences, and that's what's led us to this moment to either work in this field but we're not, unless we are the people, you know, like on environmental justice issues, I think are most likely, but we're not particularly hearing what everyone else is, what the lived experience is. We're saying, oh, well, we've had this experience already. We know the solutions, or we have all this education. We know the solutions. But a lot of time the solutions are like very simple. You know, there's like very simple dots that are not being connected that can solve some really big issues in people's lives. You know, I think that's awesome. I think that's a great tool. It's a great way to learn what's going on.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank y'all so much for talking to me. I appreciate it. I mean, I know we've been talking over email the last few months, but I'm happy to see y'all again face-to-face or on Zoom and talk about this project. I think it's really awesome. I'm very proud and happy to be a part of it as well. And the little part that, the little sliver I get to be involved in, I'm excited to be there. So thank you.
Well, thank you. We're really excited that you're a part of it as well. I think, you know, you bring so much lived experience and personal experience to the project. And yeah, we really appreciate it. And we really appreciate you having us on and thinking of us.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so we'll probably just cut off right in there. It's always an awkward end because we're like, you need enough space to like cut it off. But yeah, as you were talking about that survey, I was just thinking like that data is like really vital. I bet there's some journalists that would be interested in working or even doing a press release after y'all have seen some of it, to announce the launch of the project and then using some of that data. There's got to be a journalist that is working on that issue.
I remember a while back, but maybe y'all remember when NOLA.com was doing the series on mental health in Louisiana.
Kind of vaguely remember this, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it might even have been before they did all the paywall stuff and switched over to like the new how they're running it. Yeah. But I think that's a really great idea, Renee.
We just need
to get more people to fill it out.
Okay. Yeah. I can share it. I can share it anyway. What was I going to say? It just reminds me of the NPR, the local NPR station did that series on Haiti and New Orleans, the relationship between Haiti and New Orleans. Do you remember that? That would be something in that effect would be an interesting pitch to NPR, to one of those reporters about, and we could just like sketch the story of access to social services in New Orleans and the gaps that y'all are kind of, I mean, we can pull in a number of other organizations as well to kind of fill in all of that story, but I think that would generate a lot of good awareness that we could kind of launch on to some donations or grants being part of that would be something like that, or pitching something like that. I bet grants and fundraisers would want to be involved in that as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good idea. And, you know, I think we've had about 60, a little more than 60 people reply to the survey. And, you know, there is like already some definite like trends, right? There's some things that are trending like strongly across the board too.
Nothing. 60 people, the people write report like papers on 60 people.
Our goal is 100 right now. We keep pushing. First it was 50 and I was like, I think we can get 100.
Yeah, totally. We could totally get 100. I wonder if we could get some like...
We're at 67 right now. I just looked. 67.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe Tulane. What about y'all's contacts at Tulane? Is there some kind of organization at Tulane that would share that as well?
Possibly. Maybe they could like share it with the students or something.
Yeah. I mean, the young people, they know how to get people involved.
Yeah, and we definitely have like some other contacts from like other organizations, you know, that would maybe like link their survey in like a newsletter or on their social media or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Very exciting. I'm going to go hide in my house with all the windows. All the blinds are closed in my house. I don't know if I can say it, but I literally have closed every blind in my house. Like hiding in the dark. I only turn the lights on for y'all. Like so hot.
Hey, Renee, I have a quick question. I saw on the Instagram that you're having like these book clubs on Sundays.
That was just a one-off. So it was called the Silent Book Club and it was awesome. It was this woman, she's a good customer of ours and she's been having it in different places. So it's called the Silent Book Club. So you can follow them. And then they just had asked if they could have it in our place. And it was awesome. Like we were slow. We would have had a slow Sunday, but they like, we were packed and it was quiet. So quiet in the shop. It was the quietest I've ever heard it when we're open. And it was so peaceful because everyone was just reading their book and drinking their
wine. So it was just like go and like
read their own book. Yeah.
That sounds so cool.
It was great. And people like we're a really small shop. So people would come in, they're like, oh, all the tables are empty. I was like, ask to sit at a table. And so the tables were just full of people who had never met, but silently reading like next to them. That's great.
It's such a good idea.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was actually a silent book club.
Yeah. And then they took a picture of all the books that were read that day. So they like lined up, they stacked everyone's book up together. And it was really cute. Yeah, good idea. Cool. All right. Well, have a great holiday weekend as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you all again. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Stay cool.
Well, that's all for today. Thanks so much for listening to Making Good. You can find our podcast on all the platforms you find your favorite podcasts. You can also find a transcript of this episode and all of our episodes on our website, churchalley.store. If you loved this episode, please share it and let others know about the good work of Church Alley Cafe and Grocery. Thanks again for listening to Making Good. I hope you have a really good day. We'll see you next time.